I am not Abby Collier. I work at the State Health Department, where I'm director of the Injury and Violence Prevention Program. And I think it was the second, it may have been the third hurricane last night, I was looking at my email and learned that Abby was undergoing an emergency appendectomy. And so I've been asked to read her presentation. So that's pretty much what I'm going to do. You don't know much more about this than I do. I may know a little bit more, but there are probably some people in this room who know more. And so as we go through this together and explore what Abby put together, feel free to ask some questions, because I may not be able to answer them. But from what I have looked at, and I did look at these slides this morning quickly, this is some background about the program in Wisconsin, the local program, and then gets into a few short slides about what they've done as using the data. So don't worry, I have no financial relationships, and either does Abby. So in Wisconsin, we have 55 CDR teams presently working, covering 57 of the Wisconsin counties. Most of these small counties are very small, maybe a reticent coroner or two in those counties, but what we do fund at the state level is the Children's Health Alliance of Wisconsin to administer and promote this program, and they're working hard to fill in those gaps. The data from 2013 for the SUID aspects, and we've all had these great presentations this morning already, so we don't have to go into what the program is. 56 of the cases met the CDC definition, 55 were sleep-related, and in terms of, I guess that's in terms of data entry, 52 are complete, but they still needed to get some data on a few of those. And what Abby put together here is so still preliminary. These are the locations of the SUID teams, not the teams, the actual cases. Greater than one are the blue, and no SUIDs in 2013, the white. And you can get a sense somewhat about the randomness in the mid part of the state where the population is not high, but then where the population is high in the southeast corridor is where a lot of the cases are. Quickly, the demographics, 60% were male, 40% white, 9% less than 1 month old, 40% 1 to 2 months old. Most were under 6 months old, as you would expect. And 13 of these cases were of low birth weight and 2% mature. Little descriptive information on the moms in the home. Average maternal age, 26. Most were low income, 73%, even though 15% of the cases were missing. 49% were high school graduates, but only 15% were college graduates. The cause of death, I guess this is after the determination by the coroners. About half were medical, so those would be SIDS. Those would be true SIDS, and then the injury, undetermined and unknown. And a little bit about the information about the scene itself and about the mom and the situation the baby was in. Anything come out to you there? Probably a pretty typical series. We'll just leave that up a couple more seconds. Yeah. No smoke exposure, 47, so 53% did have smoke exposure. So that's a lot. Yeah. What would you expect in this very extremely high-risk group? Some of the same highlight of the data she's showing, 58% were in the adult beds, 11% in couches, even though three-quarters of them had cribs at home. So seeing this data, they decided to focus on one of the interventions. This is the brief pilot project we're going to show. Why the hospitals? Why focus on hospitals as an intervention? Well, I guess it was personal observations that a lot of moms fell asleep with the baby in their arms in the hospital. Different alarms got raised by in the hospitals, and so the nurses were aware of the problem. And then oftentimes they heard that at admission, the moms requested a bigger bed so she could sleep with the baby. And they also saw that a lot of the moms were sleeping, falling asleep while breastfeeding the baby in the hospital and occasionally dropped the babies on the floor. So this is a pilot at the Children's Hospital of Wisconsin. The baseline data, unfortunately, was 2% of the infants were sleeping safely in the hospital. And I guess that probably gets back to here with so many of the moms breastfeeding and falling asleep. So that was the baseline. I'm not sure what she meant by familiar with the ABCs. Okay, all right. And what the staff felt was that they really needed the resources, which translates to time in a hospital, for talking with the families. So they developed some web-based training for all the staff that had clear, consistent messaging for the patients and the families, developed some visual reminders and outlined some community resources, I guess, that would help after the babies left the home. So they actually are hoping to roll this out to all birthing and pediatric hospitals and get involved with community events around the state. Not sure if I missed something. It looks like I got them all. So it is interesting that the hospital where the baby is born is the first location where they need to focus on this problem. And obviously that makes a lot of sense because they're going to be doing this intervention for the long term after the couple days at the hospital. So I hope you don't have any questions for me. We are missing Abby.
She had a multi-level approach to get the information out to birthing hospitals, and then to make sure that they're actually changing practices or, you know, familiar with the ABCs. And great, most hospital staff are familiar with the ABCs, but they really worked on this multi-layer approach to make sure that the message was resonating with people and to find champions in the hospital of that message.
The big problem here is this baby-friendly hospital, because there it is expected to spend time, you know, skin to skin with mothers who are exhausted from a pregnancy. And we have had on our child's review team within the past couple of months several babies who were suffocated in the hospital in situations in which mother fell asleep with this baby on her and rolled over, or let go of the baby and the baby fell to the floor. Group to get together with is that they can find the people, because their recommendations lie in the face of what they're trying to do.
Cooks for Kids, you get a lot of love for their kids to eat, but they just launched a new effort with Halo, which is the make of six packs, which was started by the elementary school. They just launched a national hospital accreditation program. So I haven't gotten all the details on it, but they're basically going to help hospitals be certified as safe infant sleep places. And I think when they get that certification, they'll have certificates. They'll get a huge rate up on annual sleep tax for their hospital, you know, their patients, and groups probably get somehow or another making sure that this can get distributed. It's neat. They just launched it a week ago.
Is there any movement for hospital accreditation being tied into a safe sleep environment in the hospital?
You mean like Joint Commission?
Yeah, like Joint Commission.
There's two pediatricians in Maryland, is at my kids' sleep, York and PA, and Scott Krugman, or actually, that's Scott Dr. Krugman. So two of them have gone and they have actually written JCOG standards and they're trying to get them pushed through. As you can imagine, it takes years. But they've actually had a positive response in their preliminary. Another paper was recently published by Brad Batch, who's a pulmonologist at the University of St. Louis University, on deaths of infants due to unsafe sleep in the hospital. I forget where he published it, but it just came out. I think he did case studies about 40 deaths.
That's great. Well, I knew we'd have the expertise here if there were some questions to be answered. If you want to ask about maternal injuries and deaths of the fetus, that I can answer, but that's probably another session. So thank you.
Great.